Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'll be doing a combined Week 21 and Week 22 recap, and in it, we'll talk all about what's going on the past couple of weeks, injury news, also Juju Watkins out with a torn ACL. We'll talk about that. LeBron James goes on Pat McAfee's show. Man, I want to get into that as well. And a bunch of other stuff also. Milestones and some passings. We'll talk about it all. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, we are right down the home stretch, guys, as far as the NBA season goes. A lot that's taking place, guys. So, you know, teams are gearing up, getting ready for that final push towards the playoffs. And then also March Madness. I already gave you my Sweet 16 episode. I did have a bit of breaking news with that. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then I just got through watching the Pat McAfee show where he interviews LeBron James. Oh, he has some tasty morsels in that. So I want to hit that as well. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. So we'll start as we always do, guys. We'll start with our players of the week. And I have for both week 21, well, rather, week 21 and week 22. So let's start with week 21. Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Guys, he had a nice week for the T-Wolves. He would average almost 33 points per game, over four assists, and over three rebounds. Shot it great from the field, 55.5%. You know he's been shooting a lot of threes lately, over 38% from there. And out of his 19 free throws, he did sink 15. So Anthony Edwards getting hot at the right time, guys. His team went 4-0 for that week. They went on the road and beat Denver. Also, two home games. They beat Orlando. Orlando's starting to peak a bit. And then the Utah Jazz, where he dropped 41 points. So Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man, getting busy as we get to the stretch run. So he is your player of the week for week 21. And then, and that's in the Western Conference, by the way. In the East, how about Coby White for the Chicago Bulls? He's been on a tear lately, guys, averaging nearly 28 points per game, seven rebounds, and four assists. Shooting it okay from the field, just average from three-point range. And then out of his free throws, he attempted 17. He only missed one. His team went 2-1 for the week, guys, beating the likes of the Indiana Pacers and the Brooklyn Nets at home, but they did lose at home to the Houston Rockets. So, Coby White, now that you don't have a Zach LaVine there, you got guys shuffling in and out, but Coby White has been a mainstay for them. And then for week 22, in the West, how about KD? Kevin Durant for the Phoenix Suns, averaging over 27 points per game, over six assists, and over four rebounds for him. And he was magnificent from the field, nearly 59% from three, nearly shooting at 500%. Well, 50% rather, 8 for 17, and then from the free throw line, 15 attempts, missing only one. He only played, Well, the team went 3-0 for the week. They only had the three games. They played Toronto at home. They played Chicago also at home. And then Cleveland they beat, a game where he had 42 points, guys. So Kevin Durant, I know his team is reeling, guys, but Kevin Durant showing signs of life down the stretch. And then how about repeat, guys? Kobe White, back-to-back weeks, guys. He gets player of the week in the East, averaging over 30 points per game this week, 4 assists, and over 3 rebounds. Shot it much better than the prior week. 55.5% from the field, guys. 39, actually over 39% from three. And then he doubles his free throw attempts nearly with 33. And guys, he only missed 5. So Kobe White looking good. And his team went 3-1. His team was on the road, by the way. Got road wins at Utah, Sacramento, and they beat the LA Lakers. Wow. They did lose on the road, however, to Phoenix. And I just mentioned that with KD beating Chicago. So, but Kobe White, man, I'm telling you, he's red hot right now for the Chicago Bulls. So Kobe White giving you a double take, 2-time player of the week for the Chicago Bulls. That's Kobe White. All right, with that said, let us move on. Top story for me, guys, and this is a heartbreaker. Juju Watkins out for the NCAA tournament. She tears her ACL, guys, in a game that I ended up watching. Guys, I gave you the Sweet 16 preview. I didn't do the USC game because that was taking place actually as I was recording. But I was able to catch the game, and when I did see the injury. And, guys, oh, man, it absolutely breaks your heart to see what happened to Juju Watkins. It happened to her in the first quarter. The team was up 13-2 at the time. And with 4 minutes and 43 seconds left, she looked like she kind of knocked knees with one of the Mississippi State players. She went down, and she went down in a heap, guys. And the way she was grabbing that knee, it sort of reminded me of Cameron Brink for the LA Sparks when she went down with her torn ACL. It really reminded me of that. I was like, oh boy, this don't look good. And lo and behold, guys, the diagnosis is a torn ACL. So this will put her obviously out of the tournament. And I would say at this point, you probably won't see her on the basketball court anytime in 2025. So when will she be back? We'll see. But tough break for the kid. My heart aches for her, man. You know, she was the mercurial sophomore that I was talking about. The way she was scoring and putting up numbers, guys. Can she make a full recovery coming out of this? I would like to think so. I think she's a tough kid. I think she knows the work that's ahead of her. And I think she'll be able to resume and get back on the court. I don't think this will take anything away from her abilities. It's just the road to recovery. It's a long one for her. But prayers are up for her. You know, you want to send those prayers up and know that she'll be all right coming out of this. She'll come out of this stronger and better. That's our hopes and prayers for Juju Watkins. So her team did actually advance that evening. So they're in the Sweet 16, led by their senior, Kiki Arafin. She had a magnificent game, guys. 36 points, 9 rebounds, 2 block shots as well, and was an absolute catalyst for that team. Right now for USC, they're going to have to rely on the likes of possibly a Rhea Marshall, their senior. Maybe they could get her some more touches in the paint. And they had 2 freshmen come off the bench that gave them a spark. And that was Avery Howell and Kaylee Heckel, both freshmen. So it's a tall order to have freshmen to come in and step up in the NCAA tournament, but they're going to need as much help as they can. I mean, Kiki, she can light it up, but she's going to need support. So if these freshman girls can carry on what they did in this past game and bring it the rest of the way, I think they got a chance. Do they have a great chance? We'll see. Their next opponent is tough, Kansas State. They're not going to be a pushover, guys. And you have those 2 seniors there for them, Tamira Poindexter and Saria Sundell. So that's not going to be a walk in the park, guys. And then after that, you could possibly face the likes of a UConn. So no easy road ahead for USC. Coach Lindsey Gottlieb has her hands full. But she's a primetime coach, guys. She's one of the coaches in the running for Coach of the Year. So they have some time to, you know, figure some things out before their game, which actually will be on Saturday. So hoping for the best for USC, and we'll see what happens from there. So, yeah, so that is your top story for me, guys. Let us move on. Guys, I just got through listening to the Pat McAfee show. He had LeBron James on the show. And oh boy. It was over an hour long. A lot of meaty questions. See, LeBron now, he seemed like he's making his rounds now. He went on the Kelce Brothers podcast. I talked about that. Then he goes on Pat McAfee today, well, at this recording. And guys, he had a lot of interesting things to say. I'll save the best for last. He talked about J.J. Redick. He called him a great podcaster. Because, you know, all the media talk was, oh, LeBron got J.J. Redick the job since they was on the podcast together. So he called him a great podcaster who became a head coach. He also said he sees a lot of Coach K in him. Mind you, LeBron played for Coach K in the Olympics. So Mike Krzyzewski, he's seen him in action. So he compares J.J. Redick to him. And that he bleeds and breathes the game of basketball every single day. And you see the way JJ carries himself. I believe that 100%. I think he's a guy who's always got basketball on the mind. So, and you know why I say about him, he believes he's the smartest guy in the room. And sometimes I guess you need that kind of mentality, especially if you're going to be a Lakers coach. So, so that's what he had to say about him. As far as LeBron and how he keeps himself healthy and fit and in condition, you know, the rumors has it that he spends $1 million a year on his body, which he calls nonsense. So that's one of those urban myths, if you will. He talked about Luka Doncic, called him Luka Magic. He calls him a transcendent player and that guy. So he understands what Luka brings to the table as far as him with the Lakers. So he knows what's what. And, you know, the naysayers are talking big about them not being able to both have the ball and those sort of things. But I think it's a case where when you have two great players, they're going to figure things out. So once you get LeBron back in the fold, I think it should be a seamless process as far as that goes. And then he talked about Anthony Davis some, saying that he lost a dear friend in him when he got traded, which, you know, I don't think he's speaking out of school there. I think they developed a close bond. And again, it just talks, it kind of flies in the face of those that say, oh, LeBron knew about the trade and all this and that. I said it all along. I believe that for 1 second. So there's that. Then he talks about, let me put that to the side for a minute because I wanted to tie together the decision. He talked about that as well, how some folks in the media use that to take shots at him, taking something positive and turning it into a negative, which I spoke about the decision. My only beef about the decision was looking at it from a Knicks fan point of view, you know, how he did get wined and dined by the Knicks, but he didn't choose them. And we know at the time, James Dolan was a problematic owner at the time. He's not the James Dolan you have now that's kind of sitting in the background and letting guys like Leon Rose run the show and World Wide West. He's taking a back seat, unlike what he did in the LeBron sweepstakes. So, I was one who never chided him on how he came about doing the decisions, especially once I learned afterwards how he raised money for the Boys and Girls Club up in Connecticut where he did it at. So I had no qualms with it whatsoever, but you have folks in the media that did. So there's that. As far as MJ goes, Michael Jordan, he says they don't talk, which I kind of get that. You know, LeBron's still playing. Jordan, he's out of it. You know, mind you, he was part owner of the Charlotte Hornets, so I didn't really expect them to be speaking as it was anyhow. The fact that Jordan has separated himself from that and LeBron is pretty much kind of on his way out per se, I think once LeBron hangs it up, I can see those two kind of being in regular conversation and those sort of things. So that didn't alarm me as much. Also, speaking of J.J. Redick in the podcast, he said the reason he created the podcast, which is called Mind the Game, he did it because he didn't like the way the game was being covered. You know, not enough breaking down of the action that takes place on the court. You know, it's kind of in the same vein as the WNBA now. Well, people trying to cover it, they're not talking about what's happening on the court. They're talking about all the ancillary stuff. And that's kind of what he's mentioning here, to which I agree with him. It's more about the, you know, the drama than the actual game. And he says he is coming back for season two, but this time he'll have Steve Nash as a coach. I mean, as a host on the show. So maybe that will parlay Steve Nash back into the limelight as far as coaching goes. We'll see. But, he says he's going to continue the podcast, but now with Steve Nash. So that should make for an interesting conversation. Steve Nash, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. former player, former coach as well. I think he got the shaft as far as the Nets job goes. So I think this podcast will do wonders for those that's looking for a coach. Hearing him break down the X's and the O's, I think will go a long way for him. So I definitely believe that. In terms of the way the game is being covered, he talked about players turning analysts. He says a lot of them played the game but never thought the game. In other words, sure, they play the game, but, you know, the mental aspect of the game, you know, seeing the game in a cerebral kind of way, I think a lot of the analysts, that's what he's saying, don't do that. So there's that. Also, in these are the two that's kind of the barn burners here. Brian Windhorst, he spoke briefly about him and said, he mentioned him and said, he says he's like my blanking best friend. He said, these guys are just weird. So basically saying that the relationship between LeBron and Brian Windhorst is kind of made up in the mind of Brian Windhorst, it seems. So I'm sure he'll be on First Take or on ESPN, whether it be NBA Today or whatever, talking about that. We'll see. We'll see his response to that. But the coup de grace, folks. Pat McAfee went there. He asked him about Stephen A. Smith. And this is what LeBron had to say. He said he's on like a Taylor Swift-like tour run now, to which he's right, because he's been on this show, he's been on that show, he went on Gil's Arena dressed like Nino Brown, talking big talk like he was ready to snuff LeBron out. I'm like, come on, Stephen A, you doing, as a wise lady close to me would always say, you doing the most right now, Stephen A, going on there talking that tough talk like you're going to snuff LeBron when you see him again. I'm like, come on, man. Stop faking the fun. And then he goes on Skip Bayless show where he mentions it. So he's going all over the place talking about it. And it's funny because I posted a clip from my show where I was talking about it. And somebody said, oh, this is old now. Nobody's, can we stop talking about this? I said, sure, I'll stop talking about it once Stephen A. stops talking about it. He can't shut up about it. So there's that. So there you go. But he says he's on this Taylor Swift-like tour run now. He said he completely missed the point about it and that he got personal with it. And that's where the problem lies. And he said to, you know, he's got to do what he has to do to take care of his household. Again, that's why I said to you guys that Savannah, man, y'all sleep on that. Savannah is in that brother's ear telling him, you don't let this Stephen A. guy get away with talking about our son that way. So I think y'all sleep on that. I think Savannah ain't playing around. And she's telling LeBron to handle this business here, which he did. So there's that. So, of course, you know, Stephen A. is going to go on his show. In fact, I saw a brief clip where he calls him a liar now because, you know, Stephen A. is going to circle back and say, I was talking about you, LeBron. I wasn't talking about Bronny. So it's going to be this whole thing. And Stephen A. can't stop. He knows it's going to drive ratings. He knows it's going to get eyeballs on his program. So he's not going to stop talking about LeBron, not until he retires. And then supposedly, I was just looking at a clip from one of my podcast peeps, Tracy Treese, and she was DJ Treacy Treese was talking about it, how Stephen A. says when LeBron retires, he don't have to worry about him talking about him anymore. I said, oh, please. Yeah. She said he's capping. And I'm 100% with her. He's capping. You know he's going to still talk about LeBron. And then, you know, he, even up until then, he's been taking these little subtle shots and so forth. I'm like, yeah, it is personal now. It has gotten personal now. And the same way it got personal with Kyrie, and then he had to get called out by Kyrie's dad. He's butthurt over this whole thing. He really is. So, yeah. You need to find a hill and get over it. That's all I'm going to say on that. So if you get a chance, guys, please go listen to that. It's a very compelling listen, that's for sure. And then another podcast I want to big up, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. That's Carmelo's podcast. He had a very nice conversation with Dwayne Wade, who they both talked about the situation. I thought they broke it down magnificently. That's worth a listening if you can find a clip of that or listen to the entire show. So there you go with that. So, all right. So that's enough of that. Let us move on. Guys, I didn't talk about the February awards. I want to talk about that right quick if I can. And then I'll move on to other business once I can find it, of course. I believe it's here. Oh, maybe I don't have it. Okay, so here's what we will do, guys. Let's talk about the injuries. Guys, you got a bunch of guys with injuries here. Let's start with Bilal Coulibaly for the Washington Wizards. He's out with a hamstring, guys, 4 to 6 weeks. So the young player for the Wizards, he's going to miss some time. Probably, I would say, if my smart money says, they'll just hold him out till season's in, and that's it. So he was having a nice little season there, but, you know, injuries got in the way there. So Bilal Coulibaly for the Washington Wizards, down with a hamstring. Let us move on. De'Aaron Fox for the San Antonio Spurs. Remember, he came over in the trade deadline from Sacramento. He's out with a finger injury, guys, and he's out for the season. So the Spurs just said, you know what? We don't have Wemby now anyway, so let's shut him down. You know, these guys are going to be the centerpiece of this franchise. So De'Aaron Fox out for the season. Let's move on. Cam Thomas for the Brooklyn Nets. He's out for the season, guys, with a hamstring. So the Brooklyn Nets not having much to play for. In fact, they're rotating guys in and out. Like, as far as the last game, well, actually game coming up, Cam Johnson, he's going to sit. Then you have De'Ron Sharp, he's going to sit. It looks like D'Angelo Russell's playing. And they're just shuffling guys back and forth. It's hard to even keep up. But Cam Thomas out for the season. Paul George for the Philadelphia 76ers, they decide, you know what? He's got this abductor situation, also the knee. You know what? Let's let him have this medical procedure done, and then we'll shut him down. So Paul George out for the season for the Philadelphia 76ers. And guys, you know, a lot's being said as far as, you know, this experiment, if you will, of bringing him in along with Embiid and Maxey, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. So the first year, an utter failure. Paul George wasn't really healthy the full way through anyhow. So maybe you give him an off season to kind of get himself right. And then you see what happens in the 2025-26 season. So you see what's what with that. But Paul George out for the season, guys. Tyrese Maxey, he's been out 12 games and counting, guys, with back issue as well as a finger issue for him. So Tyrese Maxey, I think for all intents and purposes, they'll just shut him down. It's just a matter of them announcing whether they're going to do so. But Tyrese Maxey, I think we've seen the last of him. I don't think he'll play in any more games this season. Trey Murphy III for the New Orleans Pelicans. He's out for the season, guys, with a torn labrum. So you still have Zion Williamson playing, but Trey Murphy III out for the season. Domantas Sabonis, he was out with an ankle injury, but he actually made his comeback, I think it was Monday, in fact. So Domantas Sabonis is back for the Sacramento Kings, who are barely hanging on in that play-in situation. So I expect if Sabonis is healthy, he'll be allowed to play. So looks like the ankle injury is behind him. So Domantas Sabonis back for the Sacramento Kings. Clint Capella of the Atlanta Hawks. He's out 3 to 4 weeks, guys, with a hand injury. So right now, you have a Kongwu in there for the Atlanta Hawks. He's starting for them now. So once Capella gets back, we'll see what happens there. But Clint Capella out with a hand injury. Brandon Clark, man, this guy can't catch a break. For the Memphis Grizzlies, he's out with a PCL strain, guys, and he's out for the season. Now, remember, season back, he tore up his knee and was out for the season. So now a PCL strain. Guys, he's just had a bad string of injury bug, pretty much. So Brandon Clark out for the Memphis Grizzlies. Nikola Jokic, he's been having ankle problems, guys. He's out 5 games now and counting with that ankle injury that seemed to be bothering him. And guys, they need him because, you know, it's getting tenuous, that 2-6 spot there. So Denver could fall anywhere in there, so they need to be careful with that. But Nikola Jokic out with an ankle injury. And then Jalen Brunson, we just got this news. As far as his ankle goes, he's going to be out another week, guys. So right now, they're down to the nubs, guys, because also Deuce McBride, he strained his groin, so he's going to miss some time. So right now, they're down to Cameron Payne and the rookie, Tyler Kolek, who's actually been playing well in a backup situation. So that's a situation that's going to bear watching. But I think the Knicks err on the side of caution with Brunson. They're not going to rush him back, guys. If Cam Payne and also Kolek can be able to hold down the fort until Brunson get back, the better for the Knicks. And the kid looks good. Tyler Kolek looks good in a backup situation. And then Cam Payne, you know, he's a professional point guard, so he's going to man the fort. And Anthony Davis actually is back from his injury, guys. Remember, he missed time, but he is back now for Dallas, who also is kind of in that play-in situation. So you definitely want to be cautious with him also and see what's what. But again, Anthony Davis back for the Dallas Mavericks. All right, with that said, let us move on. Milestones, guys. Steph Curry, he reaches 4,000 made three-point goals in his career. And he did that on March 13th in a win over Sacramento Kings, guys. So Steph Curry continues to obliterate the records as far as three-point goals made. 4,000, that's a lot, man. Good gracious. Can that be reached? The way this game is going, perhaps, but it's going to take a special player to do it. But Steph continues to pile on to his record three-point goals made. Let us move on. Speaking of Golden State, Steve Kerr, guys, he become Golden State's winningest coaches. And he does that by getting his 558th win against 302 losses. So he does it in 860 games, thus passing longtime coach Al Addles, who coached them for 14 years. Steve Kerr coached them for 11 years. Al Addles did it in 1,075 games, thus Steve Kerr doing it in 215 games less. So that comes out to about two season and a half, roughly, roundabouts. But he does this on March 15th against my New York Knicks, of course. So Steve Kerr becomes the all-time winningest coach in Golden State Warriors history. So kudos to Steve Kerr. Sandro, I know this game, this name is going to kill me, but Mahmoud Kolashvili for the San Antonio Spurs, he becomes the first player, guys, to score 34 points in less than 20 minutes. And he does it actually in 19 minutes. And he does it in a game on March 19th against my New York Knicks. So another guy getting the record off the Knicks. And I actually saw this game. I couldn't believe what this guy was doing. So Sandro, with his record that he sets, he's the first player to score 34 points in 19 minutes. Actually, he's one of four players to score 30 points or more in less than 20 minutes. So there you go for the record books. DeMar DeRozan, he becomes the 27th player to score 25,000 career points in the NBA. And now he is the sixth active player as far as points scored. He's behind the likes of LeBron, KD, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry. So DeMar DeRozan, he has an interesting career. I got to say that. Will it be enough to push him into the Hall of Fame? I would say he'll make an interesting case when his career is up and his years, you know, he gets past the five-year threshold. So DeMar DeRozan making history, scoring 25,000 points. And then finally, I just mentioned him, James Harden moves into 11th in all-time scoring, passing the great Moses Malone. Next on the list for him is Carmelo Anthony, who's in 10th place, and he's at the time of this, 479 points away from Melo, which he probably won't get this season, next season perhaps. So there's that. All right, guys. So that's enough as far as milestones. We had some passings, guys. Let's talk about that. Junior Bridgman. He passes at the age of 71, guys. In his day, he was a small forward. And he was a Louisville graduate. He played 12 years in the NBA, 10 of those with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then two seasons with the LA Clippers. And guys, he was part of that famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade, where the Milwaukee Bucks trade Kareem to the LA Lakers, along with Bridgman. They also got Harvey Catchings, who, oh, by the way, is the father of Tamika Catchings, Hall of Fame player. Marcus Johnson, who's actually a finalist as far as the Hall of Fame goes, and Cash Money. And, oh, by the way, the Lakers also got Walt Wesley in return, along with Kareem. So, Junior Bridgman was drafted in 1975. He was the eighth pick overall by the LA Lakers, who they then sent him to Milwaukee. After his playing days, he became a astute businessman and part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Milwaukee Bucks franchise said they are going to honor Junior Bridgman by wearing a patch on their jersey in honor of him. And then I also wanted to read to you guys what the organization said as far as Junior Bridgman. The Milwaukee Bucks are shocked and saddened by the tragic passing of Bucks legend and owner Junior Bridgman. Junior's retired number two jersey hangs in FitServe Forum, serving as a constant remembrance of his outstanding play on the court and his impact on the Bucks' success. His hard work and perseverance led him to become one of the nation's top business leaders. And last September, Junior's professional life came full circle when he returned to the Bucks family as an owner. His memory will always be an inspiration to the Bucks organization. We are heartbroken by Junior's passing, and we send deepest condolences to his wife, Doris, his children, Eden, Justin, and Ryan, his entire family, and those close to him. So that's a statement from the Milwaukee Bucks regarding Junior Bridgman. So rest, sleep in peace, Junior Bridgman, and condolences to the family. Oliver Miller. He passes, guys, at the age of 54. Now, he was a power forward slash center, and he actually passed of cancer, guys. He was a Arkansas alum. In fact, he was named to the SWAC, well, not the SWAC, the Southwestern Conference Hall of Fame. He played nine seasons in the league. He was drafted by the Phoenix Suns. Then he went on to play for the Detroit Pistons. He was picked in the expansion draft by the Toronto Raptors. He also played with the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Sacramento Kings. He was drafted in 1992, guys, the number 22 pick overall by the Phoenix Suns. So Oliver Miller passing, guys, at the tender age of 54. So condolences to him and his family also, guys. Let us continue. Slick Watts, guys, whose actual birth name is Donald, but they call him Slick Watts, a point guard, and he passes at the age of 73, guys. And his health took a turn for the worse when he had a stroke in 2021. He played at the College of Xavier in Louisiana. He played for 6 seasons, guys. 4.5 of those with the Seattle Supersonics, and a season with the Houston Rockets, and half a season with the New Orleans Jazz. He was undrafted in 1973, guys, but their coach at the time and GM, actually Bill Russell, they signed him as an undrafted free agent. And his best season would come in 1975-76, where he led the league in assists and steals, guys, and was first team all defense for the Seattle Supersonics. So Slick Watts, known for his ball head and his headband, passes at the age of 73. So we send condolences and to the family, and sleep in peace, Slick Watts. All right, guys. And then finally, I'll do my big 5. We'll start with the number 1 team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, oh, by the way, they already clinched their conference, guys. So they have the best record throughout the Western Conference, guys. As far as overall, that's still in the making. So we'll see what happens there. And then in 2nd, Cleveland Cavaliers, who did clinch their division, by the way, guys. So Cleveland Cavaliers is 2nd, followed by the Boston Celtics 3rd. And oh, by the way, all 3 of these teams have clinched a playoff spot. 4th place, the Houston Rockets, who are getting hot right now, guys. They got our man Thompson back, so that's a big help to them. And then for 5th, the New York Knicks. And of course, they're playing without Jalen Brunson, but guys are stepping up and stepping in. Guys like Karl Anthony Towns, of course. You get contributions from Malik Bridges. And also, Mikal Bridges. I'm sorry. Who I get? Malik Bridges. And then OG Anunoby, he's helping out as well. And Josh Hart, he's starting to play a little better now. He was kind of slumping a little bit. So, all right, guys. So that is it for this show. I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketballwithgd.com is the website. There you find all my episodes, my clips, and all those things. Guys, I'm on YouTube. Follow me there as well. Like the videos wherever you see them. Comment if you like. Also, podcast platforms. I'm on all of them. Apple, all the things. So wherever you see my videos, like those. As far as socials go, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky. That's kind of the 3 I'm rocking with right now. Heavy. So Facebook, you know, it still pops up there, but you know how that goes. And then my donate buttons, I keep it in the scroll, guys. $GD, that sports dude, is my Cash App. And then also, my donate buttons are on the website. I got a page for that. It has PayPal there. It has my Spotify donate button there. It has Buy Me a Coffee there. Support this show, guys. And all this great content you get. Support, support, support. All right, guys. I thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is what keeps this show going, guys. So I thank you for listening as always. Next time you'll hear from me, Final Four Talk. We'll have that for you guys. And then, you know, we're wrapping up the NBA season as well. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.